Hey everybody, it's Paul Yeager, and the corn is, well, is it knee-high by the 4th of July? Depends on where you're at. Depends on how things have been going, and that is the story of this week's MTOM podcast. It's, how are things going? We're going to check in with two of our guests from earlier on in the season. We're going to talk with Cameron Pierce, who is a farmer in Kansas, and Paul Thomas for his thoughts about North Dakota. Now, the funny thing is when we talked to Pierce, he was actually in North Dakota, so he has some insight in North Dakota. But we know how fields are going for you. This one now over my head, but that's just because I was using an optical illusion. But this episode is kind of catching up with two of those farmers as we look at the mid-growing season midpoint. You know, we always kind of get together on the 4th of July, so why don't we do the same thing? Kind of give you an update of what's happening around the fields, around the country. If you have, you want to give us pictures or tell us how things look for you, send us an email. You can send it to me at paul.yeager@iowapbs.org or market@iowapbs.org. Now, let's have our conversation with our farmers who we talked to earlier this season. Cameron, you always get the crop in, right? You eventually got the crop in, right?
Yeah, we sure. That's our goal. I mean, we very often, very seldom do any kind of prevent plant type of deal with insurance. So yeah, I mean, no matter what, we're still planting sunflowers as we speak, so they're still going in the ground.
Are you doing any double crop soybeans on the back end of some wheat?
No, we typically don't do any double crop soybeans. We do double crop sunflowers. So we usually do several hundred acres of double crop sunflowers. And Derek said, my son is at home doing that right now as we speak.
You had a couple of decisions. I think I asked you at the point we chatted, is like, what were you going to plant? Did you stick with the plant to go wheat?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember back when we talked. That was maybe back in, was it March?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So the wheat was already in the ground at that point. I think maybe we were deciding if we were going to go between cotton and sunflowers and soybeans, kind of what our mix was going to be. And we ended up doing a mix of cotton, sunflowers, a few soybeans, and some dryland corn. So we got pretty good diversity this year. So we got some, hopefully we got our risk mitigated. Right now it's turning hot and dry again. So I'm kind of glad we got the cotton in rotation. We're a little bit beyond soybeans, and then the corn pretty much just the dryland corn pretty much stayed the same as typical. So
the crop is diverse, the crop is growing, and the crop, just like any time in the middle of July or early July, it needs rain. How are you doing on moisture?
We had, believe it or not, we had before, like our wheat crop was just super dry. All winter, all spring. At the end of May, we had 10.5 inches over 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. You know, a lot of our crops thought they were back, you know, where you are in Iowa or Indiana, or, you know, thought these growing conditions were just great, and they were not working on a root system whatsoever. And then, as typical, the Kansas heat and the Kansas wind hit them, and it was rough on some places. I mean, the corn was turning yellow. It didn't have a root system. It couldn't get to the water. It just looked like it was just, looked like a major drought. But even though, like, you know, 4 inches down, there was all the moisture it needed. It just hadn't rooted down into it yet. And, but I mean, you know, it's doing better now. So, we got harvest through, we didn't have a rain during harvest. We had a sprinkle, I think, but outside of that, we got all the way through harvest without any breakdowns. We didn't get any hail or bad weather, so we got all of our wheat out. It was not that great. I mean, you know, better than what we expected, probably. Of course, I kind of had my expectations set pretty low, so but it was average or just a little under. So, you know, but yeah, so we're working on getting some double crop sunflowers put in right now. All the full season stuff is completely in. And we've been doing a lot of custom planting. My son has just been sitting on the planter from dusk till dawn, or dawn till dusk, I guess. And so, yeah, and I'm actually at a meeting in North Dakota right now for National Sunflower Association.
Which is a perfect transition, because that's where I wanted to go first. Your shirt is fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll give credit to my wife on that one.
And so you're at a national sunflower meeting right now. What's the mood of the room there about sunflowers?
You know, everybody's pretty upbeat. I mean, you know, the prices are good on sunflowers right now. You know, hate to take advantage of a bad situation in Ukraine and Russia to an extent, but you know, Ukraine and Russia, I guess, are number one and number two in the world in production of sunflowers. United States ranks number 17. I think maybe we talked about that earlier, and they're just it's going to be hard for us to fill that demand, that void. And so there's a lot more people planting sunflowers. The prices look the prices are higher now than I've ever, honestly, in my years of farming. And so this is it's a good thing. So if we can actually get some moisture and raise a good crop of sunflowers, we should be good.
So price is good, but your type of you haven't changed the type of sunflower, right? There's different types, and remind us again what it is you mostly plant.
Correct. Yeah, we're doing black oil sunflowers, or they're Ohio leg sunflower. They can either be used to go into a sunflower cooking oil, or they can also be used as birdseed, which is what 99% of our sunflowers go for birdseed. Yeah. So we may send a truckload or two to get oil crushed, but typically they go for birdseed.
The mood of the outlook globally, you kind of talked about the Russia-Ukraine thing. What type of intel are you receiving in trying to make plans here in the United States, and how there can be some filling of maybe some gaps? Maybe there's not going to be gaps.
You know, to be honest, the vast majority of the U.S. sunflowers are consumed domestically. We do actually import some flowers. And so I don't know if, while I think we have the capability and the capacity to be able to export sunflowers, I don't think it's going to happen this year. There was definitely a push to plant more sunflowers. And I know there's a lot of guys up here that planted more up. When I say up here, up in the Dakotas, planted more sunflowers. In my immediate area around Hutchinson, Kansas, there's a lot more flowers that went in, and it was based on, I'd like to say, word of mouth. I like to encourage guys to give sunflowers a try. The prices are good. It's a great time to try them. You know, as long as they start with a clean piece of ground, we don't have to worry about Palmer amaranth and weeds like that rearing their ugly heads. I think they can really be a great crop and easily outcompete soybeans for yield.
What do you attribute the yield increase to?
The yield increase as far as outcompeting the soybeans?
For you. I mean, just when you're saying that you see more in the neighborhood, do you think it price in general, or was it the political side of things?
Well, honestly, I think I've been pushing sunflowers for a long time. I think maybe some people are getting tired of listening to me. So that way, we'll try these.
We can get Cameron to be quiet about it, fine, we'll do it.
I know, right? Right? So I don't know. I think they've seen us be successful with them. And I've got one neighbor that I've been working on for several years that tried them, you know, like 20, 30 years ago. They were a failure. He's turned out to crack. Get the farmers, and I said, "Hey, you want to try some double crop flowers after nothing?" You know, he's just like so set in their ways, you know, and it just, you know, maybe someday I'll just keep planting all the way around them, and you know, keep raising sunflowers, and they keep on with their corn soybean wheat rotation, and you know, so it's frustrating sometimes, but you know, small steps, if we can get more guys to plant sunflowers, you know, popularity will grow. Because they're a very beautiful crop when they're fully blooming. There's nothing prettier than a field of sunflowers. So
we did talk about that, and I loved that. I mean, we showed the images that you were hanging in there in the home office. Mm-hmm. You know, these aren't near the same images that you have, but I try. You know, do you? And you're about to get to that point where the visitors are going to come, and that's a good outreach for the crop. If someone comes this fall, or I'm sorry, if they came on the 4th of July to see your farm, there's the adage, knee high by the 4th of July. You going to have any of that dry land corn knee high?
You know, our corn is already tasseling. It's head high. the knee high, I've heard that knee high by the 4th of July, and you know, our corn grows so fast down there. We planted on the 16th of April, and it just, you know, took off, especially when we had all those good rains for that 2.5 week period. But yeah, we're pretty much fully tasseled. Now, I haven't been home for 3 or 4 days because of my trip up here, but it was looking good when I left. It was cool when I left. It's a little warmer now. We're expecting some rain this weekend, so hopefully that's the case. But actually been out of the hotel really to see what the crops look like up here in North Dakota, but flying in, you can tell it's been really wet up here, super wet. There's a lot of drowned out spots in the fields. There's fields that aren't planted. I don't know what those fields will probably go to yet, because it is actually getting kind of late up here to be planting stuff. Some of it might go to sunflowers. I don't know, but just flying in, there's a lot of fields that are bare. So
you're on the national
something growing on it.
You're on the National Sunflower Board, right?
National Sunflower Association Board, yes.
So you were telling me before we started recording that a lot of the members are from the Dakota region. Where you're at, you're sitting talking to us in Grand Forks, which is extreme east, northeast of North Dakota. We have friends of the show across the border in Minnesota, and he's been updating me this whole spring about what's been going on in your conversations with those around the Dakotas. What you just talked about, is that consistent with what the word of mouth reports have been from some of these other producers in the Dakotas? It's been really wet.
Yeah. Well, there's a lake up here called Devil's Lake.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of it before, but it's in the pothole region of, so basically that basically means that whatever water runs into it, there's no outlet for it. So it kind of fluctuates up and down, and they will like either gain or lose beach area depending on how much it's raining. And they said it's really full right now. And so, so it's been raining a lot. I think the forecast, we listened to one of the prognosticators of weather. That's a big word, but he's expecting prior, you know, La Nina is still in place. And expecting another year of La Nina, maybe another dry winter. Doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to be getting any rainfall, but probably he said maybe we'll be at 80% of normal, which still means it can and will rain, but just not an abundance of it, I guess. So they're probably going to be drying out here in the Dakotas.
So you're talking more about the Dakotas. So did you happen to sneak? Did they have the weather map wide enough to look at Kansas? They did.
And they actually were, honestly, they had kind of a big red spot just to the east of us, which meant really kind of severe drought, but like way less rainfall than maybe what my immediate area was. We were kind of in the 80% of, and to the east of us was maybe 60% of normal. But that's also the area of Kansas that's been getting all the rain early on, like all winter long. We just kept watching just rain after rain after rain go up that way. And literally you could smell it. But you couldn't feel it, you know. It's kind of one of those deals. So, you know, God's in control ultimately. So he'll hopefully send us a little bit of moisture when we need it. And yeah,
Cameron, let's close with this. Are you super optimistic, mildly optimistic about the crop, a little pessimistic? All of yours in general, mm-hmm. as we sit here in the middle of 2022.
You know, right now I'll just go down just crop by crop real quickly. The cotton crop looks fantastic. I think it was a good choice to put out, so it looks really good. The soybeans are small. We delayed planting intentionally because I'm kind of hoping for some August rains to kind of keep those along, kick those along a little bit. So I'm okay with the stage they're at. Probably the crop I'm most worried about is the corn. The corn, like I said, is tasseling. It's going to be setting ears and trying to fill ears here before too long. And so it's going to have some moisture or we'll have a not such good corn crop. And then the sunflowers, we have all stages of sunflowers. We got some that have buds on them. They're going to be starting to bloom here in maybe 2 weeks. So a rain this weekend, it would just be ideal for that. And then the other ones are just now getting planted, getting on the double crop behind wheat. So as long as we have moisture to get those up, you know, we should be good there for quite a while too. So I guess my optimism is pretty high right now. We had just a so-so wheat crop, but you know, we wheat's not the only thing we rely on. So it is our major crop. Sunflowers will be second, and you know, so then I'm hoping we'll be in good shape. Prices are good, inputs are obviously high, and we've paid for most of those. So now we kind of turn our focus towards next year and how we're going to be paying for inputs for next year. Whether we lock in fertilizer, you know, do we do that, or are we going to be, is that the wrong move to make? You know, it's a lot of decisions to make. You know, locking in crops for next year, if we're satisfied with the prices. You know, everything I've heard this weekend or this week is that the prices really shouldn't be doing what they're doing based on the world supply. And so there's just so many things that we have no control over, you know, and we just kind of have to make the best decisions that we can and just kind of go on from there. So
one day at a time, weather day, one exactly. crop at a time. All exactly. right, Cameron, great to catch up. Thank you so very much for squeezing me in. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, it's always good to chat, Paul.
All right, Paul. So the easy question is, how's the crop look?
Variable.
That's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say good everywhere. Where's that optimism?
Well, the optimism would be there's no poor crop. Variable more from stage of planting. We, had that snowstorm and then we received significant precipitation throughout the rest of April and into the middle part of May that really delayed drills and planters and everyone's field work significantly throughout our whole state. From our standpoint, we really thought around Memorial Day weekend that we were going to have at least 25% of our farm and prevent plant, that there was just no way we were going to get into it. We missed a major system that went through just about 20 miles to the east. It started raining and we missed that. And really was pretty fortunate for our farm. We ended up getting close to 95% planted and seeded across the entire farm, which, like I said, 2 weeks before that, you know, when we got to that point, we would have never estimated that in our wildest dreams. Probably one of the, you know, challenges with, you know, seeding into those overly wet conditions that occurs is you put it in less than ideal conditions. So there was some furrows not getting closed. There was, you know, some certainly compaction issues that we've seen, you know, in those tire tracks and poulters. And so it wasn't a perfect stand, not a perfect emergence, but we stayed fairly moist and the crop has seemed to compensate for it quite well. And like I said, it looks okay. There's some early stuff that looks really good. And then there's some that, you know, it's got a long ways to go.
Is that consistent with all of your crops? I mean, I know you're varied. Is there one, like, corn stands great, beans, not so much, wheat, let's not talk.
You know, small grains in general, you know, the wheat, the barley in this region look fairly good. Again, late. The canola crop in our region looks phenomenal. That's one crop that looks probably the one you drive by and like, wow, that one really looks good. Soybean stands and corn stands actually are good. Corn is anywhere from 12 inches to 24 inches tall, just depending, again, you know, if you were in the middle of May or the 5th of June. And, you know, the challenge that we all face is, you know, the wind blows and it rains and all that. So keeping up with spraying and keeping the weeds under control. But in general, you know, the crop looks pretty good. Corn and soybeans, there's, you know, certainly you have to feel optimistic about the potential, but you also are really concerned about how late this crop is and how small it is. And, you know, certainly going to need a very warm July and August with, you know, sufficient precip and then a late fall.
And you're going to probably need the heat units.
You said yeah, yesterday. Absolutely. That's right. You know, that July, record, August, yeah. And hopefully a September that has, you know, some decent amount of heat units as well, because yeah, we are significantly behind, you know, where we should be.
Is there an ideal temp for you, 87, 90, 92, that is best for growing in your area?
You know, we have such long days. So, you know, Obviously, we don't like seeing that temperature go much above 85 degrees, but it, in our long, lengthy days, it's typical in the month of July and into August that, you know, you have 4 or 5 hours that are in the 90s. One of the things that just really correlates in our area is, you know, the wind usually always blows, and we just need those thunder showers to keep, you know, popping up and keeping us moist when we get into the July, August timeframe. That's typically, you know, what really limits our yield potential up here is our soils just don't hold as much moisture as the heavier soils. And so you get a week or two of, you know, those warm summer temps with the wind blowing. We typically don't have a lot of humidity, and, you know, it dries out pretty quick, and, you know, you can lose some of that, a lot of that potential larger yield. So even though we're sitting really good with moisture now, we know from here on out, every rain is going to be a blessing.
As long as you have everything else done. You mentioned the spraying, and after you get the spraying done, give you a calm day to get some stuff done.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I seem to remember in our earlier conversation, it was, and in the pictures that we showed, you had things hooked up ready to go and seed, and you were like, well, I'm not really sure if we should. At the time, it was like, yeah, we're good, our window. Was there anybody that actually put something in on that one afternoon in April where it was good to go? And how does that look?
So I would say there was probably two afternoons, and literally two afternoons, that some land did get seeded, and it was spring wheat. The fields that I've seen that did get seeded in that little window, and they actually look phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, they're the best looking crops around. And sometimes that isn't the case, you know, when you lay under snow for 10 days and then you just, you know, that cool wet conditions and all that. But no, the crop came through that, you know, really, really well. So whenever you drive by the neighbor's fields that did do that, you certainly wish that you would pull the trigger at least on a few acres on that. So.
But as you said, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. And you could have had the see, we told you.
Yeah, right. And it's, you know, I guess we're still a long ways from harvest. And just depending on the year, you know, it's still got to go through flowering. That first stuff is just heading out right now. Conditions right now are really good for flowering, low disease risk right now. So we'll see. But right now, it looks like that was certainly the right decision, was to go out there and get those few fields that you could get seeded right away.
Do you know of anybody that changed acreage and said, I'm going to go from this to that?
Certainly there was, in our region here, there was corn acres dropped. We really didn't get a good opportunity to start planting corn till about the 20th of May. And then it was still, like I said, less than ideal conditions. And it wasn't like we got 3-4 days to go. It was an afternoon here, afternoon there. So we ended up seeding corn later into June than I have ever seeded ever. Just price staying high and having the fields already fertilized from last fall. You know, we needed to put either corn or spring wheat in there, and we just decided to keep going with the corn. So again, we'll see how that turns out. It's really the last field of corn I planted is a month later than I would ideally like to see. And in North Dakota, you know, it's pretty tough to catch up on heat units. So we'll see what happens there. Other crops, I think soybeans, I guess I haven't even seen planted acreage report today for North Dakota. I saw the U.S. numbers. Again, I'm guessing here, and I didn't see the numbers, but I'm guessing soybeans, you know, at least in our region, I know they went up some than more than what people were anticipating. Again, just because of the later season. And from a specialty crop standpoint, I'm seeing more sunflowers in our area than we have in the past years. Certainly a lot more sunflowers.
For those that are listening to the full podcast, earlier before you, Paul, was our friend Cameron from Kansas, and he was actually in your state when we recorded for a sunflower meeting, and he said the same thing. He saw a lot more sunflowers around him in Kansas, but he also heard in your state, in the Dakotas, north and south, more sunflower acres, And we got into the whole, is that a political thing or a price thing? Because we're trying to fill a need of what may be short, but I also understand not every sunflower gets shipped in this country. When you get together with friends or meetings there with growers, associations that you're involved with, what's everybody talking about this summer?
Well, I would say, you know, still on everyone's mind is next year. You know, what are crop prices, you know, going to be like next year? Do I lock in what looks like favorable prices, not knowing what input prices are going to be? So, and that inevitably circles back to fertilizer. A lot of concern about fertilizer prices. And, you know, obviously that's a major, major input for all of us producers throughout the United States. And not knowing for sure if we're going to be faced with these really high nitrogen prices, as well as the phosphorus and potassium. And then even, you know, in the past, the fuel conversation hasn't been, you know, a big part of conversations, because certainly it's an input cost. We want to try and control it, and it impacts us, but not as significantly as like seed or chemical or fertilizer. But now that we're looking at, you know, $5.50, $6 a gallon diesel, you know, that's starting to really impact the bottom line. So, you know, the culmination of all of these input costs being at such high levels really has people concerned about next year.
So waiting for that other shoe to drop. The long tail. And you mentioned soil compaction. That's an issue that you may have to contend with next year on the agronomy side of things. So yeah, this, just because you got it in doesn't mean that you've made it into the barn yet.
No, like I said, this crop has a long ways to go yet. You know, a lot of factors can affect it along the way here. And I think from a marketing standpoint, a lot of producers have hedged a fair amount of this year's crop, you know, now that it's in, it's up and it's growing, but still cautious with the amount of bushels that you're hedging, just knowing we got a long ways to the finish line here too.
All right, Paul, I appreciate the time so much and the update on what's happening there on the farm in North Dakota.
Yeah, thanks. Good talk to you, Paul.
My thanks to both Paul and Cameron for their insight. A lot of things change in just a matter of time, but sometimes things stay the same. Feedback for me, hit me up, markettomarket@iowapbs.org or paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. Thanks for watching or listening, and we'll see you next time.